Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. God's word is life. Amen. God's word is life. God's word is life. Ooh, hallelujah. In the beginning was the word, John 1:1, and the word was with God, and the word was God. God's word is life. Praise God. God's word is life. Hallelujah. John chapter 6 and verse 63, Jesus speaking, he says, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. God's word is life. Praise God. It was by the word we became born again. It was by the word we were born of God. It was by the word we came into this new life, this new existence. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which lives and abides forever. We are born of the word that abides forever, that lives and abides forever. Glory to God. James chapter 1 and verse 17 to 18. Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of light, from above, from with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning, of his own will begot he us by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. We were begotten by the word of truth. God's word is life. Hallelujah. Welcome you to another encounter with the word of God this morning. Glory to God. And then we've been studying spiritual growth and what it looks like. What exactly is spiritual growth? We've said a lot about this. What does it look like? We've said a lot about that. Presently, we are studying how to grow spiritually. How do I make progress in the faith? How do I mature in Christ? Hallelujah. Now that I am saved, what next? Spiritual growth. Amen. And I've been sharing on practical steps, things to do if you must grow spiritually. Hallelujah. No doubt you have to feed on the word of God, but the how to must be understood. Praise God. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So you see that growth happens when a man receives the word of God regularly. When a man exposes his mind to the influence of the word. Growth happens when you open your mind to the influence of the word. You will grow to the degree that you receive the word of God. You will grow to the degree that you expose your mind to the influence of the word of God. Praise God. Romans in chapter 12 verse 2. While salvation is an instant process, spiritual growth is a process. Hallelujah. Let me say that again. While salvation is an instant result, an instant thing, spiritual growth is a process. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. You are transformed, this is spiritual growth, by the renewing of your mind. It's a process and it's ongoing by the renewing. You are not transformed because you have renewed your mind. You are transformed by the renewing of your mind, because your mind is so transient and can attract anything. Your mind can be spiritual today, and in the next 2 days, your mind is carnal. Your mind is not like your body. Your mind is not like your spirit that can have a particular status and maintain that status for life. Your mind is transient. Praise God. Your mind is like a magnet. So it's possible your mind attracts something good today based on exposure, and tomorrow it attracts something terrible and bad, something that is of poor taste, something that is not meant to be found in your mind as a Christian because of exposure. Praise God. Exposure. That's what determines the state of the mind per time, what you expose it to. So if you listen to somebody who feeds you with tales and tales and tales and everything that is anti your faith, don't be surprised when you begin to entertain and nurse those thoughts. If you listen to a man that feeds you with the reality of Christ, the reality of the Christian faith, don't be surprised when you begin to have your mind overwhelmed and invaded by the thoughts of Christ. It's about exposure. Hallelujah. It's about exposure. So our minds are very important where spiritual growth is concerned. So I've taught that we have to grow spiritually. Spiritual growth is something that happens as we submit our minds to the influence of the Word of God. And then we are seeing how to grow spiritually. I've emphasized the place of being taught the Word. Praise God. There are some joking Christians who say that they don't need teachers. Say, I can just study my Bible myself. It's a fallacy. Praise God. I've noted over the years that men like that eventually desire to teach others. They don't need teachers, but they want to teach others. But if you look through scriptures, it is those who have been taught that have the right and are licensed to teach others. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. And the things you have received from me, you've heard from me amongst many witnesses. Commit the same to faithful men who are able to teach others also. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. For when you ought to be teachers, you have need again that one should teach you all over again the very principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. When you ought to be teachers as you are being taught. Praise God. So a man that has not been taught does not have the right to teach. Glory to God. He doesn't have a right to teach. It is those who are taught that become sound teachers of the Word of God. Let me say, those who are taught rightly and those who are taught well are the ones that become sound teachers of the Word of God. So I've emphasized the place of being taught. Submitting your mind to the influence of a sound ministry, of a sound presentation of the Word of God on a regular basis. This is scriptural. Hallelujah. And then, next to this is your personal study. So as you are being taught, you must go back to the scriptures. As you are being taught, you must go back to receive the truth of God's word from the scriptures. You must go back to revisit the things that you are learning from the word of God as you are being taught. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6 to 7. I love this portion of scripture so much. It's an instruction on spiritual growth. An instruction on how to grow spiritually. It says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So I continue in that which I have been taught. Hallelujah. I continue in that which I have been taught. One of the reasons why many believers are not growing is because despite being exposed to sound doctrine, sound teaching, they do not have this element of personal commitment to the Word of God. So it ends in church. It ends in the gathering of the saints. It ends in that convention, that conference, that camp meeting. It ends there. Hallelujah. It ends on a Sunday morning. It ends midweek service. It just ends there. The moment you leave the gathering of the saints, it just ends there. And you are shortchanging yourself. Hallelujah. Nobody makes progress in the faith just because he attends church regularly. Hallelujah. Nobody makes progress in the faith just because he listens to a sermon once in a while or feeds on a material once in a while and then goes for a convention or a conference. People make progress in the faith because they make it a daily habit to look into the Word of God, a purposeful gaze into the scriptures. Hallelujah. A purposeful gaze into the scriptures. It must be a daily affair. Just like you don't survive on the food you ate yesterday, you must eat on a daily basis. Men who don't eat regularly are prone to having ulcer. Hallelujah. If you don't feed on the word of God on a daily basis, it means you are coasting and banking on past impute. It must be a daily affair because the world is assaulting your mind left, right, center. The world is hurling things at you. The world is trying to draw you away and pull you away from the thoughts of spiritual things. The world is trying to pull you away and draw your attention from the thoughts of Christ. That's the reason why you must wake up and greet every day, every passing day, with a renewed passion and desire and fervor to renew your mind with the truth of the word of God. The world is trying to plant in you and sow in you every day a seed of carnality. You must awaken to God's word. Hallelujah. It's a desire. There must be a daily passion and interest in the word of God. You must be engulfed with an overwhelming desire to feed on the scriptures. You must feed on the scriptures knowing that your life depends on it. Hallelujah. So you can't just depend on being taught. You must go back to the things you are taught. You must go back to meditate on the things you have received. You find instructions given in scriptures. Men ought to meditate, give themselves wholeheartedly to that which they are receiving, that which they are learning. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then I began to emphasize the need for personal study. And I started by saying, you must first learn how to read your Bible. Learn to read the scriptures. Hallelujah. Learn to just read the scriptures and enjoy the Bible. Read the scriptures. Let me quickly say this. Many folks who abstain from Bible reading because they feel that they can't understand what he's saying are people who have not been well taught. If you have been well taught, if you have been trained in the scriptures, and you've been taught the scriptures, and you know the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament, Bible reading should be a delight by now. Hallelujah. Bible reading should be a delight by now. How many days or weeks or months did Jesus spend with disciples after the resurrection? Do you know that prior to the resurrection, the disciples did not understand the scriptures? So if you look at Luke chapter 24, you find out that the moment their understanding was opened and they comprehended the scriptures, it was just a few days that Jesus had with them. Praise God. Physically now, Jesus had just a few days with them physically. So look at Luke 24. But then he had opened their understanding to comprehend the scriptures. That means from that encounter, they could read the scriptures and understand what they were reading. Luke 24, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Say not, I can't understand the scriptures. That's the reason why you are being taught. And that's the reason why you've been taught. You can understand the scriptures as you read because you are being taught and you have been taught. Hallelujah. Luke 24, and I'll read from verse 44. The Bible says, then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. So you see that in this encounter, something happened to these men. Jesus had shown them the purpose and the essence of the scriptures. They knew what to look out for. Praise God. He showed them all through scriptures the things concerning himself. He walked them through scriptures. They saw the scriptures in the light of his sufferings, his burial, and his death, and his resurrection. They saw that the scriptures are Christocentric in nature. The scriptures have a central message, a central theme, the redemption of men by the blood and the sacrifice of Christ. Hallelujah. So they understood the scriptures. Look at how Luke records the same event at Acts of Apostles chapter 1. Praise God. This whole, event of men coming into an understanding, the apostles coming into an understanding of what the scriptures are about, happened in the space of 40 days. Acts of Apostles chapter 1, glory to God. I'll read from verse 1, Bible says, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So Jesus spent 40 days. In the space of 40 days, he opened their understanding. They came into the knowledge of Christ. They understood redemption. Hallelujah. From that point in time, they knew how to read the scriptures. Glory to God. That was the same knowledge they took to the world. That was the same knowledge they fed the early church with. That's why when the eunuch met with Philip, and then Philip asked him, do you know what you are reading? Do you understand what you are reading? And then the man was puzzled. He says, I don't know who is this man talking about. And he was reading from the book of Isaiah. It wasn't hard for Philip to just walk him through scriptures. The Bible says, beginning at that scripture, he expounded to him. He began to preach unto him the person of Christ and his work. Hallelujah. The person of Christ and his work. Because he himself had been well taught. He had been trained. He understood the purpose and the essence of the scriptures. Hallelujah. So it was common knowledge in the early church that they knew that the scriptures had a central message. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, from verse 15 rather, Paul speaking to Timothy, he says, and that from a child you had known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. True faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So, he says, the scriptures are able to furnish you and make you wise unto salvation. The scriptures are centered around the event and the promise of God as fulfilled in Christ. Hallelujah. So, you see, the teaching ministry facilitates a personal devotion to the scriptures.
As a man is taught and his understanding is opened to comprehend and understand the scriptures, he does not have an excuse anymore to say, I don't understand what I'm reading. Hallelujah. The teaching ministry is meant to facilitate a personal devotion to scriptures. I've seen believers who are exposed to sound doctrine who still claim they can't understand the scriptures. It's quite funny. You say, I've been taught, I've been listening to materials. I've fed on a lot of materials. But when I read my Bible, I still don't understand. Then your teacher is doing a very bad job. Your teacher is doing a terrible job. If after being taught, you still do not know how to read your Bible. For being taught, a man should be able to read his Bible. Praise God. Or let me excuse your teacher for a while. Maybe you are the one not listening well. If you pay attention to sound doctrine and you are really being taught, there's no such thing as you cannot understand scriptures when you read. That's the essence of the teaching ministry. So that a man can pick up his Bible and read without having any problems. Glory to God. A man can pick up the scriptures and read without having any problems. You should be able to read your Bible and be blessed because you have been taught. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, in your personal devotion, I'm saying two things are required. You must learn to read the scriptures. That's the first thing to do. Just read through the scriptures. Read the books of the Bible. Read the gospels. The gospels are a narration or a narrative of the life of Jesus and his ministry upon the face of the earth. The visible demonstration of the life we now share with him. If you want to understand how that life is to be operated, just read the gospels. Glory to God. I've heard people who said to me that, the Jesus we are trying to walk like and live like is not the Jesus that walked in the four gospels. It is the Jesus that is risen from the dead. And I said, okay, where is that written? This Jesus that is risen from the dead, where is the example of how he's living today? And then they go blank. There's no such thing. It's not in scriptures. Hallelujah. We make it sound as though the Jesus that lived in the four gospels was an inferior Jesus. Praise God. That's how we sound. The Jesus that lived in the four gospels, are you aware that Jesus had eternal life? Praise God. That Jesus that lived in the four gospels, he had eternal life. He was carrying within himself the very essence of deity. That's the Jesus Bible says the Word became flesh. That's not in his resurrection. In his earthly walk, it was the Word who became flesh. Amongst us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. It says we beheld. What they saw in his life and ministry was the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Praise God. Full of grace and truth. That was the Jesus that said at John chapter 5 verse 26, he says, as the Father has life in himself, so has he granted to the Son also to have life in himself. As the Father is self-existent, so also the Son is self-existent. Glory to God. That's the Jesus who said, before Abraham was, I am. Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad. Glory to God. 1 John chapter 2 verse 6, look at the instruction by the apostle John. He says, he who says he abides in him ought himself to walk as he walked. Past tense, as he walked. So you see that the instruction is about Jesus' example in the past. It's not saying follow the risen Christ. He's one and the same person. So but then the risen Christ has given us an example of how we ought to live our lives in the Gospels. In fact, I dare say that's the only place you're going to see how Jesus lived his life. That's the only place you're going to find the example that he left us. Praise God. The man Peter also says, Jesus left us an example to follow his footsteps. Praise God. His footsteps. So Jesus has given us an example in his life and ministry, and that is documented and narrated in the four Gospels. Praise God. So you want to understand, you want to see, you need a graphical and vivid demonstration of the life you have come to share with Jesus. Feed on the four Gospels. The epistles are details of the work of Christ in us today, what he has done. So in the epistles, you learn realities of the Christian faith. You learn realities of the work of redemption, the benefits that have accrued to us by faith in him. The Gospels show you how he lived and operated that life. And you know one thing I find very funny? Most of the people who often say that it's not about the Jesus in the four Gospels, it's about the resurrected Christ, that's the person we're trying to live like, they have not even lived up to 1/10 or sometimes 1/20th or 1/50th of the life that Jesus lived in the four Gospels. Hallelujah. I mean, just match Jesus' record in the four Gospels and it will suffice. It will be enough. Glory to God. So it's about the Jesus in the four Gospels. It's about the example that he showed us in his earthly life. Glory to God. So reading, just read through the ministry of Jesus. Let your mind be overwhelmed with the thoughts of how to live as Christ. Hallelujah. Read through the epistles and let your mind be overwhelmed by the thoughts of your union and identification with Jesus Christ. Let your mind be overwhelmed by the realities or overwhelmed with the realities of that which came to pass in your life because you believed, of your position in him, of your identity in him. Hallelujah. Of your inheritance, of your position, your inheritance, your possession, your place in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. That's what will overwhelm your mind as you read through the epistles. It details the facts of redemption, the things that came your way because you believed. Glory to God. So reading is very key. Just read through. Hallelujah. Reading has been a vital culture that, you know, God has given to his people from the Old Testament. Way back in the Old Testament, reading was a culture of the Jews. They were always reading. They would just come together and read. Hallelujah. And God today still expects us to take advantage of this particular habit to imbibe spiritual knowledge. Hallelujah. Reading is very, very key. Look at a few texts of the Bible. Let's look through the scriptures to see a few places where reading was emphasized. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 3. Glory to God. Matthew 12, 3. Reading is so important and key. Emphasized in the Old Testament. Right into the New Testament, reading is an approach to learning. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 12, verse 3. You often find Jesus ask people, have you not read? Jesus will often ask, have you not read? Matthew 12, verse 3. Bible says, but he said to them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him. So he was asking them, have you not read what David did? Praise God. At this point in time, they were accusing his disciples of plucking the heads of grain on the Sabbath day. And then Jesus is saying, have you not read what David did? Praise God. What David actually did when he entered the house of God and he took the showbread and he ate it. And it wasn't lawful for him, but he ate it. Have you not read it? Praise God. It gets to verse 5. It says, have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple profaned the Sabbath and are blameless? Priests in those days were not prevented from carrying out their assignment because it was Sabbath day. Hallelujah. So Jesus was trying to show them that if they had read and they had paid attention to what they had read, there would have been no need for them to be asking him, you know, this question about why his disciples were plucking the head of grain on the Sabbath day. Praise God. So Jesus often asked them, have you not read? Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 19 verse 4. Look at this also. You see, in reading we gain understanding. Hallelujah. We gain understanding when we read the scriptures. We understand things. You cover ground. You are so vast in your knowledge of scriptures. So it prevents you from asking certain questions. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 4. Bible says, and he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning, made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. Hallelujah. What was the question they were asking him? They were asking him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? And then Jesus is saying, have you guys not read? Praise God. I mean, something as basic as, you know, God made them male and female. God made them to be together. So it's no longer two flesh, two people together. It's now one flesh in the sight of God. And what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. This is written in the scriptures. Have you not read it? The reason why you're asking this very funny question is because you have not read. Hallelujah. Or you've not paid attention to what you've been reading. Matthew 21 verse 16. Reading makes us gain understanding. You must develop a passionate reading culture. Just keep reading. Praise God. Read through Romans. Read through Romans. Get to 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Do you understand? Get to Galatians. Just read. Glory to God. I remember a particular day I read the book of Titus 10 times in one sitting. That kind of reading, a voracious approach to reading. I'm devouring the scriptures. I'm feeding my mind on the scriptures. I'm reading, getting so familiar with the books of the Bible, with the chapters and with the verses. You should read to a point where before you get to the next statement or the next line, you know what is there. Your mind should have read ahead because you are already conversant with the text. Praise God. That's the kind of reading that works, that affects your mind. Read and lose count of how many chapters you've even read. Glory to God. Reading is important. It is beneficial. It is advantageous. It is profitable for spiritual growth. You must be a reader. Hallelujah. It is good to hear the word of God. It is also very good to read the scriptures, to just read and dwell in it. Matthew 21 and verse 16. And Jesus said to them, "Yes, have you never read out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants? You have perfected praise. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise." He was responding to people who were indignant and were angry because people were saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Hallelujah. Hosanna to the Son of David. And they were praising his name and they were saying, "Save us, O Son of David." And then they were indignant. Hallelujah. They were indignant. And then they approached Jesus to say, "What are you saying to these things?" And he said, "Have you not read it?" Praise God. "Have you not read it? It's already in the scriptures. It's already in the scriptures that from the mouth of nursing babes and mouth of babes and nursing infants, he has perfected praise." Glory to God. So you see that for every of their arguments and contentions and controversies, Jesus kept asking them, "Have you not read?" Praise God. "Have you not read? It's already in your scriptures. It's been written in your scriptures. If you had read as you ought to read, you'll have found the answer long before now." Praise God. Just like today, you know, there's an outbreak in the world and people are saying God is angry. And then while you spend your time sharing from scriptures and you say, "Well, I'm not afraid. God is not angry with the world. I'm not joining the world to pray for forgiveness because I know I'm forgiven." And people are like, "Eh, look at this one." Praise God. See pride and arrogance. Better fall on your knees and begin to plead to God. Better begin to cry. And then you're like, "Oh, have you not read?" Glory to God. "Have you not read Colossians 1:13-14? Bible says, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us or conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son." Verse 14. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." Have you not read that in Christ Jesus we have the forgiveness of sins? God is angry with the world. Have you not read 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation? God is not angry with the world. God is reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. Have you not read? Hallelujah. Have you not read? You know, today as people are saying, there's an antichrist that is about to come through technology. Praise God. And he's coming to introduce a particular chip. The moment you get the chip in your body, you will not go with Jesus. You will never be rapturable again and things like that. And you're wondering, what are these guys saying? Hallelujah. Be careful so you don't collect the mark of the beast, even as a Christian. Have you not read? Have you not read Ephesians 1:13? "In whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Ghost of promise." I cannot be sealed by the Antichrist because I've been sealed by Christ. I cannot be marked by the Antichrist because I've been marked by Christ. Have you not read? Hallelujah. Some say, you know, the Antichrist is going to catch us unawares. The rapture, you don't know when the time will come. The rapture is just going to catch you unawares. So you have to be careful. All these things they are introducing, 5G, 6G, 7G, HD, 20G, my G, praise God. You know, just be careful and things like that. Have you not read? Have you not read the scriptures? Praise God. Have you not read the scriptures? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 from verse 1, Bible says, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." You see, can you see? As a thief in the night. Have you seen? As a thief in the night. Let's be careful. Oh, you are not reading as you ought to read. Read in context. Verse 3. "For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. But they shall not escape." Verse 4. "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. But you, Hallelujah. The Christian is not going to be caught unawares. The world will be caught unawares. The coming of Jesus will be like a thief in the night for the world, not for the Christian, because he's not a son of darkness. He's in the light. Hallelujah. We're expecting the coming of Jesus. Hallelujah. We are sons of light and not sons of darkness. So it don't come as a thief in the night. It don't catch us unawares. Glory be to God. You won't hear that some Christians have gone with Christ and then you were left behind. There's no such thing in the scriptures. Hallelujah. Let's just be ready. Be ready to go with the first flight so you don't miss the flight. Have you not read the scriptures? Have you not read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? Glory to God. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 16. Bible says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words." All of us will be with the Lord, caught up together with him in the clouds. Glory to God. So you see, certain questions and anxieties and agitations and arguments and controversies in the hearts of many Christians today are reflective of the fact that they are not well taught and they are not well read. Praise God. Anyone who has read the scriptures as he ought to read and has been well taught the scriptures will not be falling for some fallacies making waves and trending in the world today. Praise God. Imagine preachers warning believers to be careful not to be a part of the new world order. Praise God. A new world order that is going to be ruled by the Antichrist. Hallelujah. And it will make it difficult for men to escape. And I'm like, wow, have you not read the scriptures? While they're expecting a new world order, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. Glory to God. That is what is in the scriptures for us. We're not expecting a new world order. We're expecting new heavens and a new earth wherein righteousness dwells. If you are a good student of the Bible, you'll not be moved by many of these fallacies and theories today. Praise God. You will not be moved or shaken by them. Hallelujah. Now, listen to this. I'm not saying that the world will not change. The world that our ancestors, grandparents, great-great-grandparents lived in is not the same world we are living in today. There will always be a different system, a different operation. World powers will rise and fall at different points in time. So things are going to change. But then the point is this. None of those changes and transitions happening in the world will ever affect our eternity in Christ Jesus. We are secure in Christ. Colossians in chapter 3 from verse 1, Bible says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Any technology, any system, any advancement, any progress in the world, any transition, any chip, hallelujah, or invention of man that cannot penetrate Christ, cannot affect or tamper with your life in Christ, because your life is hidden with Christ in God. Glory be to God. So you see, we have to be students of the Bible. We must be students of the word. We must make up our minds to be students of the word. Hallelujah. And it doesn't come cheap. You must set aside time to read the scriptures. That's the first thing required of you. Hallelujah. As you are being taught the word of God, you must set aside time to read the scriptures. Glory to God. So go into this day with a passion and a commitment to read the Bible. And we'll continue from here tomorrow. Do good to tune in. Invite your friends, family members, colleagues, classmates, anyone at all. Let's come together to have a great time in the word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the word, full of prayer, spiritual songs, full of the Holy Ghost and power, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.